Kurt, if you would, open up your Old Testaments to Psalms, the 17th chapter. I'm going to apologize right now for my cracking voice. Psalms 17. We'll remind you. Psalm 17. We've looked the last few weeks that I've had the opportunity to be with you. We've looked at a number of psalms. We looked at Psalms 14, 15, and 16. I think it was two weeks ago. And looking at Psalm 17 today, I look at this literally as a prayer of David. I look at it as thinking out loud. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation you're beside yourself. And sometimes talking to somebody, making those words verbal, really helps. You know, being able to put your thoughts into words. I don't know when in David's life he wrote this. You know, there are some scholars that debate whether, you know, David wrote some of the Psalms or not. This is pure David to me. When I read this, there's nobody but. I don't know when in life. There's not a doubt in my mind, though, he's reflecting on the period of life when Saul was after him, when it seemed like everybody was against him. David kind of comes on the scene with the Goliath event. And everybody raises him up and pats him on the back, and he's killed Goliath, and he's the local hero, the local boy done good. Then goes on to serve God. And you think Saul has done well against the enemies. David overshadows Saul. Not on purpose, not because he wants to, but he does. And now Saul turns against David. This guy that had brought him such glory and such honor, and David, who was so humble toward Saul, God's anointed, so humble toward him, now this Saul is against him. And why? Envy and jealousy. For no other reason. Envy and jealousy. I'm often reminded the attitude of John the Baptist. A man who had quite a growing following himself. And when Jesus comes on, you know, John understood his role in life. And he makes the statement, I must decrease and he must increase. He has that attitude. He could have, there's a lot of, you know, you turn on the TV and you look at some of those people, they would do anything they could to maintain that fan base. John the Baptist, my sole purpose was to prepare the way for him. David has that humble heart. He's done things that that brought glory and honor to Saul. But the people started, the glint in their eyes was now more toward David, and Saul turned against him. And this is what David is facing. This one-time hero was now living in caves, trying to escape being caught, trying to escape being killed by this man who he had once served and would still serve. And I think of all of that as I read this. It is part express putting your thoughts to words, getting it verbal, and part prayer to God. And starting out in verse 1, here in verse 1 and 2, we see five requests being made to God. And it starts out, "Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright." What a righteous prayer to God. Not asking for a new chariot, not asking for expensive clothes, not asking for riches. Hear a just cause. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer. And he says, which is not from deceitful lips. I am not a lawyer. I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn, but I do get my jurisprudence from Judge Judy. I do watch Judge Judy. I like my Judge Judy. And she says oftentimes, talks about the doctrine of clean hands. That in a court, you can't be accusing somebody of something or wanting something when you're coming into court guilty yourself of something. And this is here in verse 1 where it says, give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. I'm coming to, and as he knows, God knows, I'm not coming to you with anything but a righteous plea. God wouldn't have listened to it anyway, and he's aware of it. And in verse 2, he says, let my vindication come from your presence. Isn't that something that everybody wants, is to be vindicated? Everybody hates to be maybe thought of in a certain way wrongly, or to be taken wrong. You say something and somebody takes it a totally different way and is offended. I didn't mean it like that. And when all you want is vindication, you want to be seen right. And he says, let my vindication come from your presence. That with God, we will be vindicated. Not only here, but us. With God, we are vindicated. For we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But through Christ, we are vindicated. We are vindicated in God's eyes. Verse 3, you have tested my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and have found nothing. If this is David, which I'm confident it is, this would be before Bathsheba. when he is in this situation, you have tested my heart. Look at how many times David had the opportunity to do wrong, to kill Saul, and he didn't do it. I could have ended it. I could end this persecution. He cut the hem of his garment off. You know, you've tested me, and I've come up righteous. And he says at the end of verse 3, I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. That reminds me, that word purposed. You don't just not sin by happenstance. You don't just stumble along into righteousness. You choose that path. You make your decision. And I'm reminded of Daniel in Daniel 1:8, how it says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He didn't wait for that time to make a snap decision. He planned it out. I will serve God. And this is what is saying here. I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Our mouth, what a duality it has. I love in the book of James where it talks about with the mouth you bless men, but you curse God. It shouldn't be that way. You know, we can do great things with our mouth. We can preach the word of God. We can preach sound doctrine. We can encourage people. We can uplift. We can sing praises to God. We make that great confession with our mouth about Jesus. But yet, that same mouth, we can discourage. We could teach false doctrine. We can spread gossip. And here it says, I have purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. The mouth, there's a lot of sin that can be done with the mouth. Verse 4, concerning the works of men, by the word of your lips, I have kept away from the paths of the destroyer. This goes along with that concept, and we talked a little bit about this today in Bible class, about hearing the word of God and then obeying it. Not just hearing only, but and obeying it. By the word of your lips, I have kept away from the path. He's heard what that path is, and he's not going to stray from it. Verse 5, uphold my steps in your paths, that my footsteps may not slip. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. What a righteous request to God. Again, not asking for riches. In James 4:3, James is talking about, you know, you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss that you might spend it on your own pleasures. We don't see any of that requesting being made here. The requests are, uphold me in your paths so I don't slip. I've called upon you. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. That's what David is asking for. He's not asking for earthly things. He's not asking for monetary, worldly requests. He's asking, God, please hear me. I want to stay on your path. That's one of those things that you know God is going to listen to and hear. Verse 7, show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. He's aware that he's aware of consequences. He's aware that those who trust in God, God will protect them. That you'll protect those that rise up against him. And who's risen up against him? Saul. And all the power behind him. And the people. And don't you know, he's just saying, where did it all go wrong? I did nothing against this guy except trying to serve God. Verse 8, keep me as the apple of your eye. I love that verse. Keep me as the apple of your eye. It is said that David was a man after God's own heart. And David probably knew that God was pleased with him, that God showered him with affection and protection all the days of his life. And there were consequences later on for things that he did. But for somebody that is the apple of your eye, you would hate to lose that place. A parent, you disappoint a parent, you disappoint your family, your best friend, so, and they're knocked down a notch. David doesn't want that. I want to stay the apple of your eye, God. Things are just falling down around me. I don't want to sin. I don't want to stray from that path. And he requests, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. What a safe place that would have been. My grandmother, her birthday was Friday, just 2 days ago. She's long gone now, but I tell you, growing up, I don't care what was going on, come here, hon, and just embrace me. Everything was fine in Mama's arms. Mama would have fought a buzzsaw for me. Come here, hon. And all was good. How much more under the shadow of the wings of God the Creator? In Luke 13, verse 34, Jesus made the comment about how often I wanted to gather my children, Israel, like a hen gathers their chicks, for protection, for safety, for guidance. Jesus says, how often I would have done this. Their response was, but they didn't want it. They didn't want it. David is wanting it. Protect me under the shadow of your wings. Verse 9, from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me. Surrounded. I kind of think of like General Custer or something, everywhere. Where do we, there's nowhere to go. We are surrounded. If we go this way, the enemy's this way. If we go, we're done for. And he's wanting to be in that shadow of God's wings from those that oppress him. And they're everywhere. Everywhere I turn, there they are. They have closed up their fat hearts With their mouths, they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They have set their eyes crouching down to the earth, as a lion is eager to tear his prey, and like a young lion lurking in secret places. David was aware of how lions behaved. He had been a shepherd. In fact, he had told Saul, "I used to protect the flock. I fought bear. I have fought lions. I've grabbed a lion before by the mane and killed it." He has seen as a shepherd, I'm sure, many times as he's moving the sheep along, lions out there crouching down like this, focused on prey, and he's probably protected the sheep. Now he's the prey. Who's going to protect him? Who's going to rise up and protect him but God? Arise, O Lord, confront him, cast him down. Deliver my life from the wicked one with your sword, with your hand from men, O Lord, from men of the world who have their portion in this life, and whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave the rest of their possession for their babes. These people that are against him are earthly. They're not looking at things spiritually. They're satisfied with possessions. They're satisfied. And as he says, you know, they're fat hearts. They're arrogant mouths. But who's going to rise up against them? I want you to rise up against them, God. You protect me. And it closes out. He says, as for me, not anybody else, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. He can't control others. He wishes he could. But as for me, I will do these things. I think of Joshua. But as for, you know, you decide whom you follow this day. You decide. But as for me and my house, we will follow the Lord. And here David is saying, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I won't see God if I perish. I won't be one of those that blames God. I will see your face in righteousness. And I will try to be righteous. I will be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. The people against him, his enemies, are satisfied with earthly things. And he will be satisfied when he awakes in God's likeness. And you wonder why it is said that David was a man after God's own heart. This was a relatively short chapter, 15 verses. Again, the days Dick isn't here, you get out early. He hates those long sermons, but he's out. Just rub it into Dick next time you see him. Boy, we got out early. You could have gotten out early. As we go into this new week, we talked this morning about soldiers of Christ arise, that we are soldiers. David was a soldier. As we go into this week, when it seems like you're surrounded against the world, when it just seems like everywhere you turn, the world is against you, say those prayers to God, like here. Guide me, keep me on your paths. Keep me from straying from you. Vindicate me. Let me be on the winning team. The battle's already decided. The battle's already decided, and I don't want to spoil it. Our side won. You know, I hate those people that spoil the end of the movie, but I'm doing it. We win, guys. What's left up to us is decide which side are you going to be on. Are we going to be on God's side or the world's side? Our side has already won. We gotta side with our choice. Hopefully these verses give you something to think about this week. Have a good week. Remember, let your light shine, and you're soldiers for Christ. If you need to respond to the invitation, everybody here are baptized believers. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent of sins, don't let another minute pass without getting on God's right side and taking away whatever is between you and God. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's stand.